I am the author of Revealing Heaven and a beloved child of God. I am childlike in many of my ways. That's not because I'm ignorant of the world. That's because I am innocent of the world. You have to become innocent to be like a child. The word says you must be like a child to enter into the kingdom of heaven. There are many reasons for that. Total trust and love for your Father. The innocence of your heart, like I just spoke about. And the fact that you want to have fun. Because I am bringing a new revelation. I know many people came wanting a word from God. The words I speak are a word, you take it. Amen. Revelation from the Father is a word from the heart of God. Amen. And although I can see into the hearts of people and discern what is your life, what has been your life, and even what will be your life, He's used me in the prophetic for over 30 years. There's nothing greater than having a rhema revelation from the Father for today in your life. And that's what you're going to get today. I have been taken to heaven since 1996, about three times a week. So if you want to multiply, that's probably about the how many times I've been. I lost count. I don't have 12 years to share with you, so I'll let the Holy Spirit tell me what to say. I rarely come up here with a list of what I'm going to say, because most of the times He erases it. Because everywhere I go, there's something that people need in that audience. And so He ministers to you even during the message. I have known the Lord from the age of 4, and I'm 57. Poured out, broken, surrendered, totally surrendered. The words I speak are not my own. Even in normal conversation, when I talk, I'm prophesying. His ways are my ways, His thoughts are my thoughts, and His words are my words. And when you live your life like that, this is a word for this new season, for all those who live their life like that. He wants you to know that your needs have become His responsibility, and your desires are His pleasure. And in this season we're entering into, there will not be a struggling for finances, for revelation, for power, for passion. It will be downloaded into you from the Father. This is a new season. He is going to do things a new way and use people in a new way. That's why I have pink hair. I'm opening that season of the new thing. Because He does not care what color your hair is. And a lot of pastors have to get past my hair to have this revelation. But when they find out I carry, it's wonderful that they no longer care that I have pink hair. Because they're hungry. And the Father had a reason for asking me to have the pink hair. It was not my idea. I'm a business person. Have been for 20-some years. Worked in a professional world with CEOs and executives, and I loved it. He took me home so I could spend 8 to 10 hours a day with Him to prepare me for what He called me to do now. So in 1993, He warned me a month ahead of time that He would be removing me from my job. It was a very lucrative job in a law firm, and so I had to have that money replaced somehow. It was done by the provision of the Holy Spirit. But first, He allowed us to lose everything. Some people would say that wasn't God. Yes, it was. Because He told us first before He did it. We did. We lost our house. We lost everything. We slept on someone's floor and we didn't care. Because see, we knew we were being prepared for something. We knew that He was using us an example for someone who would surrender, lose everything, and still worship Him the same as if they were kings in a palace. And that is exactly what we did, not just myself and my husband, but our children. The day we picked our daughter up from school, she was 16. Everything we owned was in a truck. And when I told her we didn't have a home, these were the words she spoke. What an adventure with God. I cannot wait to see how he will prove himself for us. She didn't care that she didn't have a place to hang her clothes. She didn't care if people knew we didn't have a place. It didn't matter what the world thought. It mattered what God said to us. And we knew what we were called to do, what our purposes were. This was just part of the journey. So we had enough money left to get a hotel room. We took our kids out of school, and we danced all day long before the throne of God. We were going to show the enemy he didn't control anything in our lives. That we knew this was the Father doing something in us. People have watched us for years to see what God was going to do with us. And I want you to know that he opened a door very soon after that. We stayed in one of the wealthiest communities in our city. Keys were given to us to come and stay. Everything was there, including the dishes. So don't tell me he can't provide for those who will live a surrendered life. He does. So I did pay a great price to be here, to stand here, because he knew I would have a platform to share. And he had to make sure that I wouldn't say anything that was not him. I do enjoy this very much, but even though I did not die to go to heaven, I die to myself every day to reveal it. Because when I stand up here, there can't be anything of me in me. And he wants you to know that sitting in this congregation is the same as being in the throne room of God. Because all of heaven is watching this meeting. They have waited for years to have revelation of what it is truly like to live in that holy, amazing place. And I tell you why I'm here, not because I thought it was a good idea. Because when the Lord came to my house in 2005 and asked me to write the book, he showed me, not told me, the places I would go. And I did know one day I would stand before millions, be on every media channel, every newspaper, every magazine, billboards all over the country with my pink hair saying heaven is real and you need to find out about it. You need to know who God really is and what he has prepared for you. But he told me first he was going to let me meet his friends. So I guess that means you are friends of God. And you know, he shares things with his friends, his secrets, before he tells everyone else. So that's why I'm here today, because you are friends of God and you're going to hear some of his secrets. Everyone, please just shout hallelujah. Hallelujah! If you were in heaven and you just did that, it would ricochet. Amen. It would cause a chain reaction. Hallelujah. Because you cannot help it in heaven when someone says that. It will ricochet all the way around the entire world that encompasses heaven. It's like a catching. It just catches you. You're caught up. And you have to declare his glory. You can't contain it. You are so grateful for what he's given you there. The fact that he was merciful to you. Even though you lied, you cheated, you stealed, you sinned, while you were sinning, he gave himself for you. He didn't just pour out his blood. He forever changed his person and his identity. The one who was, who is, and always will be, who is everywhere all at the same time, chose to have his being come to this earth and put in a human body. He can never be rid of that body. He chose to take it on. Now, he can still be everywhere. He can still do everything he did before, but he will forever in all eternity have that body. He didn't have it before. So, yes, he died on the cross and he took your sins, but he did even more than that. This holy, amazing being took all that he was and trusted the Father by living a life like everyone else on this earth, being put in the baby's body and being raised up, having been through everything, tested and tried in every way that we have, but remained holy. Amen. He chose to do that because of love. Yes. And if you want to know what the fire is that's coming, it's that passion. That very love that took him to the cross is going to go into the hearts of the believers. It will radically transform them. It talks about it in Joel 2. When his glory covers the earth, is him in us, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That hope is the very hope of this world, what they need, what they desire to know. You were born in this day and age for a time and a purpose not given to any other generations.
Hallelujah.
You are a blessed generation. Hallelujah. Because you're not going to watch this happen. You're going to make it happen. Almost every time he takes me to heaven, he cannot stop help but talk about what he's going to do in his people. This world will so radically change from the way you see it now. Don't listen to the media. Don't even listen to some of the doomsayers. Because this is not the time and season for everything to crash. It is a time for a flash to come from heaven. His fire is going to come and sear into the hearts of the people. First, he is dealing with his leaders. So this is a warning from the Father. You need to lay down your plans, men and women of God. You need to seek his plans.
Yes.
You need to have his plans because this is his time and season on this earth. And if you don't take his plans, you'll become nothing. He will replace you. Some will die and go to heaven early because they don't want to let go of their control. Freedom and liberty is coming to the body of Christ.
Yes.
He is coming to his house.
Yes.
To take over.
Yes.
And church won't be church like normal.
Yes.
People think when you go to heaven, it's going to be like a church service. Guess what? The church service is going to become like heaven.
Yes. Yes.
People will run to get into those places. He is not abandoning his church. He's setting it on fire.
Yes.
He showed me a day and hour when literally people with their human eyes will see angelic beings holding open the doors of the sanctuary to enter in. Because his glory will be so powerful, so weighty, that people will rush to get in there. There will even be warning signs in the foyers warning people, the Christians, don't enter into these doors if you have hidden sin. Because you will take your life in your own hands. People will drop dead in the sanctuary because it will be holy ground. But that does not mean it's going to be like living like a monk. It will not mean that it's going to be a sour, sad thing to enter in. It will have more fun and joy in the house of God than anywhere else. Because the presence of the Lord, and guess what? There is joy. Where the presence of the Lord is, there is joy. People will not be able to resist it. So I tell you, you better start getting there on time or you will not have a seat where you're used to sitting. There will be strangers and heathens sitting there. The heathen won't drop dead when they enter in because they're running in there to get him. It's the believers that will no longer be allowed to ride the fence or hide in the gray area. Because he's going to expose the contents of men's and women's hearts. And you're not going to enter into his sanctuary unclean. And you won't want to. So get ready for things to be very different in your life and even in this earth. Because when he comes to inhabit his people, he's coming to sit on the throne of your heart. One day on the throne in Jerusalem. Jerusalem will not be destroyed. The Father wants you to know.
Amen.
It doesn't matter who's trying to come against them. Yes. He will put those countries down.
Amen.
It won't even be the armies of this earth. It will be the Most High God.
Yes.
Because they are still a chosen people.
Yes.
He has not replaced them. We are grafted into them. But he's not coming to our country to reap judgment on it. Because if those in the White House don't want to stand for his country, they will be removed. But the people in this country love God's chosen people. They're standing up and crying out on behalf of them. He's not going to destroy a country where his own people are crying out for the chosen people to be delivered. So he will judge, But it won't be the people. It will be those sitting in the place of authority. And his glory will try to consume them. But guess what? The word for the seat of the government is this. I'm coming to move you. You either let me move on you or I'm moving you. Because there won't be anything untouched by the glory or the fire. None will escape it. So that's the word to them. They better listen and they better yield. Not just the leaders in the body of the Christ, but the leaders of the government. Yes. This country was bought and paid for by the blood of the martyrs, and he is coming to inhabit this country. From here to the world, that fire will spread, but it's coming here first. And he is not leaving out this area. He can't. Because he has to have the ones he wants in that place. Because when we operate in this day and hour, the hand of the government will be extended to the believer. Even the media will race to see the miracles. Because it's not just going to happen in a few places. It'll be so rampant everywhere that the people will demand to know what is going on. They will no longer allow the liberal media to tell them what the truth is, because the truth will be exposed and they will desire it. Your lives will not be the same. What you watch on television, what you hear on the radio, what you see in the streets will be what God wants. Because he has a divine time on his timeline, and we are approaching that rapidly. It will not be repeated on this earth again. That's why I said you are a blessed people, because you get to help make it happen. Because when that fire comes to transform you, the Holy Spirit will work through you unlimited and unhindered. Amen. You will walk down hospital corridors. You won't even have to go in the rooms, and the people will be raised up and healed in the entire hospitals. The dead will be raised everywhere. There are some cities and regions that literally people will load their dead in the cars and drive them in there because of the habitation of the glory of God. Amen. He is not coming for a revival. He is not coming for a visitation. He is coming for a habitation. Amen. And before you can inhabit, you invade. Amen. That's why heaven is about to invade this earth. There will be sightings of angelic beings everywhere. They will be captured on television, over the internet, in newspapers, in magazines. He is going to erase that gray area that man has been hiding in, saying there is no God. Do what you want to. The world will know he is real. And if he's real, then the word of God is true. And they will have to make a decision. But first, he's going to do something to his body. And let me tell you, he is not coming today. Because if he did, half the body wouldn't go with him. They have so embraced the world to be like the world and running after the world. If you are a friend of the world, you are an enemy of God. And you don't want to be his enemy in this day and hour. You don't want to be left out of what's going to happen. You want to be a part of it. He wants us to take dominion of this earth. Adam and Eve may have given it up, but Jesus gave it back to us. We are not defeated, sick, broken, poor, and scared. We are the fullness of the Godhead bodily. We need to start acting like it. Don't allow sickness in your home, but don't allow the devil in there either. If you're dragging him in there with the world stuff, it's no wonder there's things in your home. You can't bring the devil in your home and think God's going to come in there and live. Amen. You can't bring the devil's stuff in your home and think you're not going to have sickness and strife and fear in your home. You gave him permission. Yes. And a lot of the ways we do that is what comes out of our mouth. Yes. This was meant to create life, yes, not death. Amen. But the word says that the power of life and death is in the tongue. God created with his. He created good things. And that's what you're supposed to do. Because when you say bad things, when you gossip and backbite, it is called character assassination. You are shedding innocent blood. When you talk about people or ministries or businesses, you have no right to do that. When you do it in the spirit realm, out of your mouth comes a cesspool. Demons will come and swim in that cesspool. Some people's homes have whole rivers of it running through there. We're going to repent for our mouths. Even though we repented, we're still going to declare words that he wants to speak. When you do that, breakthrough will come in your life. Because even though you repented of sins, if you start speaking tomorrow, guess what? You nullified your prayer. You can stand all you want to for a family member or friend to be saved. You turn around and tell someone how bad they are. You canceled your prayer. That's that wave being tossed to and fro. And God says, you won't get anything if you're double-minded. Amen. If you want to know what double-minded means, that's what it means. Father, I ask you to save my sister. God, I want her to know you. Let her not miss her destiny. And then the phone rings and they call and say, do you know what she's doing? You have no idea. She is slandering people. She is lying. She's running around on her husband. She needs to get her act together. That person canceled their prayer. God will not hear it. You may be the only reason someone ever gets into heaven. The first time I went, the Father told me, don't you ever stop standing for your family members. You tell my people, don't ever stop praying. I don't care how bad they are, how far they're running. My word says that if you love me and serve me, you and your household will be saved, not maybe. But you have to stand on that. You can't talk about them bad after you've made that declaration. And let me tell you, if you stand on that word, whether you ever see it with your own eyes, you do not know what goes on in the spirit realm. Your spirit is awake all the time. Even when bodies are in comas, their spirits can hear. You don't know if the Spirit of God goes to that person and deals with them. Many, many times he has done that. They had to still make that choice. But if someone is standing on that word, God has to do something. He can't let it return to him void. So don't give up. I don't care if they're in prison. I don't care what crimes they have committed or are committing. Don't stop declaring that they will be saved and know him, that they won't miss their destiny. Because even if they don't do it here, guess what? We're coming right back to this earth for 1,000 years. People will still use their gifts. It doesn't stop when you die. You can't get people saved, but you still use your gifts even in heaven. And you'll use them on this earth. We need to realize that when you grieve, that's a normal, natural thing. But if you let it consume you to the point of despair, it is sin. Because you are not believing and trusting him. That's like unbelief. The word says you will be reunited with them. They're living an amazing life. They can see and hear you. And right now I'm going to show you something that literally exists in heaven. It is in Hebrews 12:1. It is in the Word of God. I used to look at that scripture as a child and wonder exactly what that meant. I was very curious. And I had a big imagination. And I would say, what does that mean, Father? Witnesses, a cloud of witnesses. Are they up there in the clouds peeking over? I want to know what that means. So one of the places he has taken me to several times is called the portal. And in Hebrews 12:1, well, in Hebrews, they just talk about the great men of faith that have passed on before us. And Hebrews 12:1 says, there is a great cloud of witnesses. They have gone on before you. But they can see and hear what's here. It says to run your race because they're up there cheering you on. They know what you're going through. There's a great cloud of witnesses that know what you are experiencing on this earth because God made a way for them to see and hear you. There is a place in heaven called the portal. This is exactly what it looks like. There are many of them, and for the people who can't see what I'm holding in my hand, there is an amazingly beautiful building. I was taken into one, but there are many in heaven. This one could hold about 1,000 people. You go in this beautiful building, this golden building. You pass down these arched hallways. You come into a huge room the size of a football field. There are columns there that are about 80 feet high, four of them. Then, and at the base of them are monitors. They're huge screens, probably 20, 30 feet high, 40 feet high. And this is how people find out when a family member is going to be saved. So this is definitely inside revelation for you who have stood for their salvation. In heaven, they know when someone's going to be saved. Because the columns on the right-hand side of this room, when they stand there and they see a family member's face appear there, and God will let them know ahead of time because he knows the end from the beginning and the beginning from the end, they get to watch them being saved. They will get a hold of all the other family members and say, get to a portal right now somewhere in heaven. And they will tell them the name of the person who's about to get saved. They walk in. They walk up these beautiful stairway. And they look over a balcony railing. And whoever they're thinking of that very moment, God allows those people in heaven to see and hear you as close as the ceiling in that room. Amen. They get to watch the salvation of their family members. And this place goes wild. Everybody runs up and embraces the family members watching. They are celebrating that another brother or sister has come to know the Lord. Yes. That their place is now being prepared in heaven for them. They will clap them on the back. They will hug them. And in the throne room of God, everything stops and people start shouting glories to God. Hallelujah. They will dance. They will celebrate all over heaven because one person got saved. So if you want to move heaven, you pray with someone to be saved. You start witnessing and they'll start celebrating. It is an amazing thing that happens in heaven. The columns on the left side, the big screens, when faces begin to appear there, those people are about to come home to heaven. No one in heaven is shocked or surprised when someone shows up at the gates. How do you think they know to meet you there? God made a way for them to know. Most of the time they come here and walk up those steps and look over, they're declaring God's will over your life. That's why the Lord said, pray this way. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. They know what the will of God is, not just for themselves, but for their family members. And they're looking over that balcony, looking down at you, and they're saying, I declare they'll become a mighty man of God. I declare they will not miss their destiny. I declare they'll become a living testimony of the saving power of the blood of Jesus Christ. If Christ is our head intercessor in heaven, don't you think the people in heaven declare stuff? Yes. They just don't pray like we do, crying and whining, hoping that somebody hears. They know that the Father hears the prayers of those that love him. And his greatest desire is to have them know him and come home. So I can tell you, heaven is in agreement with you. This amazingly beautiful place, people of all ages come, even the angels come to peer over. They are very curious about us, sometimes frustrated with us, because we don't act like he exists, let alone believe that he can do something for us. Because God is attracted to your faith. He knows what you're going through. He wants to see faith extended. If you don't have any, ask him for some. Amen. If you have unbelief, ask him to help your unbelief, and he will do it. But in this day and hour, he wants his people to use their faith. There is power in what you declare and believe in your heart. So this is one of the ways he made possible for people in heaven to see and hear us. This is what is open over top of this building. Anywhere he sends me, it doesn't matter if it's a trailer with five people in it or if it's a congregation with thousands of people, the street corner, the grocery store, the gas station. Let me tell you, I have opportunity every day of my life to witness because of this pink hair. People want to know why a 50-something-year-old lady has pink hair. If I was 20, it wouldn't mean anything. But they stare and they want to know when they see me. So every day of my life, many times I get to share about heaven to people. And the purpose for sharing is to reveal Jesus Christ. Amen. Because of the price he paid, this is available. because of how much he loves them, this is available. And the revelation he kept for this day and hour, some of the things he showed John and he said, seal that up for another time. The people in that day and age could not possibly comprehend some of the things I'm going to share with you. There's no way their mortal minds could even know what that was. So yes, he did save some things for the end times. And he knew what we would all be facing. He's not surprised the world is in the situation that they're in. But he loves to come during the hard times and the crisis and show up and show off for his people. Yes. He's coming to reveal himself to the earth and the people in it, and he's using his people to do it. Amen. Jesus will be seen many places in the earth. He is appearing even now to some of the Islamic leaders, to the very people who want to destroy us. He is appearing in person. They are surrendering everything. One of the things the Father told me was he is about to save some of the most wicked people on this earth because he has a better plan than we do. We would like to destroy them and put them away. He knows what happens when they get saved. They are the strongest witnesses because they've lived for the enemy. They already know what the power of the enemy is. And when they say his is greater, his love for them, they cannot resist it. They are captivated. So he is captivating the hearts of some very wicked people. And very soon you will hear them declaring what they have changed their hearts for. Yes. Not only that, there's going to be a mass movement through many of the denominations, even the Catholics. One of the things he showed me was that one of the popes, and I don't know if it's this one or the next one, he is going to consume them to the point where they will declare that Mary is not to be honored like Jesus Christ. I have many Catholics ask me, did you see Mary in heaven? Did you see her being worshipped? And I said, I saw her, but she is only honored like the disciples. She herself does not want to be worshipped. And if you will remember that while Christ was on the cross, he gave her to John. And from that moment, she was no longer his mother. She was like a sister and a brother in the Lord. Yes, she's honored in heaven. People recognize her. They hug her, thank her for all she gave for bringing Christ into this world. But she herself worships the Lord Jesus Christ. And so for a season on this earth, things will change dramatically. People will want to worship God. They will want to love God. He's even going to take over what Hollywood produces. He's going to take over the judicial system, the financial system, the business world. He's going to take over all of it. Because until all things are restored, he is not coming. Until his body is walking in the fullness of their authority and his bride is without spot or wrinkle, he can't come. So you're going to live in the day and hour when that happens. When that glory is poured out over all the earth, his people surrounding this earth, carrying him. Your shadows will heal people. You will do greater miracles than Christ did because he said we would. Some of those are already beginning to happen. But let me tell you, the harvest has not come in yet. Millions will be saved in just days. People run out of places and throw themselves on the ground wanting to know who God is. They will grab everyone walking by. Do you know how I can know Jesus? Where can I find him? Are you a believer? They will be banging on the doors of churches to find him because his presence and that glory will be so strong on this earth. It will send them one way or the other, so the darkness will get darker because there'll be no gray area. He's going to draw a dividing line, and you will either want him and want to know him, or you will run the other way. Amen. But no one will be able to hide sin. It will be exposed. So you know why the fire is coming? Because it's going to expose the inside of your heart. When it comes, I would rather be standing ready to carry it instead of being exposed by it. But the reason he's going to expose is so you will know it and you can do something about it. So even being exposed, that judgment coming is a good thing, not a bad thing. Because his men and women of God have to be walking in that place in order to mentor them with the heart of the Father. That's why freedom and liberty is going to come back to the house of God. And even people who've never danced before, they will dance. In the throne room of God, people dance almost nonstop. I knew there was dance in heaven. All three of my daughters minister in dance. They have broken strongholds. They are weapons in the hand of their God. They do dance warfare, dance intercession. The scripture they stand on is Psalms 149, where he talks about the high praise that binds the enemy in fetters of iron. One of my daughters even had brass knuckles tattooed on the top of her feet because they are holy weapons of God. And she allows him to use them to war against the enemy. I'm not telling you to run out and get tattoos all over your body, but I can tell you the end time army, a lot of them will be those who did get tattoos, who have sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's going to use them the way they are. Do not judge people. You do not know their hearts. We are not to embrace sin, but you are to love the sinner because he paid a price for them to know him. I'm going to talk about the throne room of God for a few minutes, and then I have something to declare over this region. In the throne room of God, my favorite scripture is Revelation 4. I'm not going to read it because I have a lot to share. You can read it when you get home, but please do. It is one of the best explanations of what the throne room looks like. The throne is high and lifted up. The Father sits in his throne. His Son does not have a separate throne. He sits in his Father's throne at his right side. So the Father sits there in all of his glory. You can see him from the shoulders down, but his face has so much glory emanating from it. It's like the most brilliant light coming from his being. His eyes, when I saw them, they were blue, the Father God. But the thing that got me was the passion that was coming from them. Out of the Father's very being are spirits. We came from him. That's why he calls himself our Father. If you want to know where you all were before you came to this earth, you were in the Father. Life comes from him, but in heaven you see it. Spirit beings are going in and out, little spirits in and out of the Father, and they're all saying, send me. Send me to the earth that I can live for you, that I can worship you. So when conception takes place, one of those little spirits is taken in place into the womb of that woman. It becomes a living human being at that second, not when the child is born. There are no fetuses in heaven. There are living spirits that become human beings when they come to this earth. So all human beings came from the Father. That's why he said he wants even the vilest sinner to be set free. Even the sinners were his children. That memory is taken from you when you come to this earth. But that's where all life comes from the Father. The glory of his being emanates through the throne room. It creates a rainbow of life. That rainbow around the throne starts with that brilliant white light from the Father. It goes into gold, a very thin line of emerald, and then the most amazing teal green you've ever seen in your life. That's why John said there's a rainbow round about the throne like an emerald. He did not say it was an emerald. They didn't have a name for that color, so he picked the closest one that he could think of. That's why on the cover of the book you will see teal, and you will notice that even when people wear that color, you notice it immediately. It is a very unusual color. This is the cover of the book. It has the wing of the living creature on it. The name of the book is Revealing Heaven. I forget many times to talk about the book because I'm so excited about the revelation. But in Revelation 4, you will hear John describe the living creatures. They are amazing, powerful beings. One has the head of a lion, not the body of a lion, the head of a lion. One has a head of an eagle, one has a head of an ox, and one has a head of a man. But they walk upright like us. They do not walk around on all fours. They have these beautiful gowns they wear, collars that turn up around their head. You can see through these garments and you see thousands of eyes looking at you from their bodies. Even their hands have eyes in them. They have six wings. All of the feathers in those wings have eyes around the edges and in all of the feathers. That is what the Lord wanted on the cover of this book. He wanted no mistake that when people saw that, they will know this is something different. When you show this to someone that knows God, they know what that is. When intercessors see it, they go nuts because they know that there's revelation inside here that they've probably never heard of before. I don't know of any other book that has the wing of the living creature on it. And I could draw it because I saw it. They are bleached white by being in the proximity of the Father. That's their place. That's where they stay. Their entire beings are bleached white, their bodies, their wings. But the eyes and their feathers and in their bodies are blue. They have eyes in their backs, so no matter where they are, that's why they only have to go forward. Because even while they're going forward, they see behind. It doesn't matter where they move, they see everything. And their job is to stand there. They cover the glory of God. They declare his holiness. But let me tell you, even the way they are placed around the throne of God, there's a purpose for it. We were actually doing in heaven. We were doing down here what they do in heaven. She was declaring the holiness of God from a holy heart. We were declaring the holiness of God from a holy heart, some of us. But it doesn't mean that there has to be a lot because he uses a remnant all the time. When you would declare that forward and it's answered back from the hearts of the people, something happens in the middle. Something happens in the throne of God when those four living creatures turn and face each other and they declare his holiness. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. When they say that, the walls of the throne room shake. The glory of God, the cloud fills the throne room. Fire and lightning emanate from the heart of the Father. Lightning belongs to the Father. It is not a symbol of the enemy. He's coming like a lightning strike to this earth. The throne room people in there, if they're dancing, it doesn't matter what they're doing, they will fall on their face. Because you can't stand even there in the glory. That glory is what is going to come into the congregations of the churches. Many times the people, not even the pastor, will be able to stand. They'll preach laying down. Because they can't stand in that glory. But the day will come when we will carry it. So when you look at where you are now to being in that place, that's why God is coming to transform the hearts of his people so they can carry that glory. The very glory that emanates in the throne room. Nothing evil can exist in heaven. And although Satan goes there sometimes, he is taken into the courtroom of heaven. Off from the throne room, there are many hallways. There are many doorways. I know what's inside some of those rooms. In some of those rooms, there is court going on in heaven. Not only is Satan brought up there sometimes, demonic beings are. A day in his court is worth 1,000 elsewhere. You're getting revelation. He's not talking about the inner and the outer court. He's talking about the literal courtroom of heaven. We as believers have a right to have the enemy dragged up there and sentence passed on him. If you're tired of the enemy beating you up, you tell the Father, I want my day in court because a day in your courtroom is worth 1,000 elsewhere. The enemy who's been harassing and attacking my family, you drag him before that courtroom and you pass sentence on him. Why do you think it says Christ is our chief advocate? Do you know what advocate means? It is a lawyer. Someone who's standing on your behalf to defend you. Where would he defend you? In a court. In a courtroom. It exists in heaven. There are many millions of demonic beings that are about to be dragged up there and sentenced. Because that understanding and realization to the believer, he has made a way for that to be stopped. He can cancel the assignment of the enemy if they are found guilty trespassing on a beloved of his that is serving him, pouring out their life, a tither, a giver, a sower, a lover. You have a right to your day in court. So he is giving revelation on that scripture. It is a courtroom in heaven. He is your advocate, your lawyer. You don't need lawyers on this earth to do something for you. Because no matter what man is doing, they're being controlled by demonic beings. If that power is diminished and canceled, that person on their own can do very little against you. That's why it says, do not war against flesh. I'm not saying you can't take someone to court if a company or something's done you wrong. I'm not saying that. I'm saying you go to his courtroom first. You take your case there, and you let the Lord Jesus present it. And you will have justice. Because on the very first step of the throne room steps that go up there, it says justice. That is the right of every believer in this world. We have someone in heaven waiting to bring someone into that courtroom and pass sentence. My people perish for lack of knowledge. So now you have knowledge. So use it. There are many other rooms going off of that courtroom. There are intercession rooms in heaven. They look like a lighthouse. And some people are used that way in the spirit realm. When you intercede and stand on behalf of somebody, God calls you his superhero. There are superheroes in this world. They're called intercessors. They are some of the most highly honored people in all of heaven. Because they're not just praying for their family and what they want or need. They're standing in the gap for people they don't even know on the other side of the world. They make themselves available for the Holy Spirit to use whenever he wants to. When you pray in tongues, you are praying heaven's language. The enemy cannot understand it. That's why he wants to keep that truth from people. When you pray, you're agreeing with heaven in the most perfect, pure prayer you could pray. The enemy cannot understand that language. He is terrified when people use it. That's why he wants to try to squash it down. You have to realize the things he fights the hardest about are the things he's most afraid of. Satan does not retaliate because of anger. He is too smart for that. He doesn't let anger control him. He uses it. Fear controls him. He attacks you because he's afraid of you. He knows if you ever get a hold of what God really has for you, that he is going to be put down. You have power with your mouth. Earlier I told you what happens when you use it the wrong way. In the spirit realm, when you stand and intercede on behalf of somebody, in the spirit realm, immediately a sword begins to form out of your mouth. The angel of the Lord is standing there. When you're done, he takes it and he goes and starts to fight the enemy on behalf of what you just prayed about. Not a week later, not a month later, immediately. God wants to empower his people with the understanding of the spirit realm because it's all around you. It doesn't affect you daily. It affects you every second of your life. And guess what moves it? What you do, what you say, where you go, what you buy, what you use. Every second of your life, you are either going to draw heaven into your life or hell into your life. When you go into places you shouldn't be going into, and you know Satan lives there or is controlling that, like R-rated movies, I'm just going to be really real with you, that means rotten in heaven. That doesn't mean restricted. It means rotten. Amen. Because if you couldn't take Jesus in to see something, don't you go. Amen. When you go, there are demonic beings that sit over top of these places, and every time you go in, you get vomited on by the enemy. I'm going to give you revelation of how a Christian can go being a strong Christian to being in the pits of hell working for Satan. Because they'll take a step and go do something they know is wrong. When they do that, this scum is put down over their spirit. You keep doing that, it builds and builds till you cannot hear him anymore. Amen. You cannot have even your conscience warn you that this is wrong. You are willingly doing this. What you do with your will matters. What you will enter into, the Father wants you to know, will enter into you. What you enter into will enter into you, whether it's good or evil. When you go into the places where God is, where his spirit dwells, where he's pouring out his glory, you will be filled with him. And the enemy hates that. You will receive revelation. You will receive empowerment. You will receive encouragement. You will receive words that will show you things that you need to do in your life, things that the Father is about to do on your behalf. Those things empower you. They don't enslave you. So you need to watch where you go, what you see, what you listen to. All of it impacts you. When I look at a television or a computer monitor, I see a door. They are doors to the spirit realm. And you can either let heaven or hell come in them. So men or women who are in their homes seeing things on the internet that they shouldn't see, they think this is for my pleasure, I'm not hurting anybody, you are allowing hell to move into your home. They will affect your marriage, your finances, your health, your children. You, even as a believer, allowing them to be attacked. Don't think it's just going to affect you. It will affect everyone in your home. Be quick to repent. Because when you repent, all of that scum is removed off of you. I go into homes, I see it on furniture. I go into restaurants, I see it on seats. People walk by me, I see it on them. My daughter's friends can't come over to my house and I not know that they've been doing something wrong. So the believers have no problem coming over. When the other ones come, they will run in and run out. But it doesn't matter. Even if they didn't come, I would know because I pray for them. My children all love God, serve God. I told them from the time they were babies, you're going to serve him and know him or you're not going to belong to me. I live holy, you're going to live holy. They didn't get away with anything in their lives that God didn't tell me even before they do it. I'd walk up and say, don't go do that. I'd call places where they were, not necessarily really bad places, but they shouldn't have been there. I'll call them. If you don't leave, I'll be there in 5 minutes. I will stand on a table and announce to everybody there that they better repent because heaven is coming. They don't stay very long. If they went somewhere and I didn't call them, I would have a tray sitting outside the door with communion to take. Don't enter into this home until you repent and take communion. I had a hard-headed one. She was just like me, my middle child. She's the one who now has the tattoos on top of her feet and will tell anything that moves, breathes, or not breathing who Jesus Christ is. She wants to go save the underground people in London. She wants to go to the people that everyone has rejected and hates. But she was not easy to raise. But she knew if she went in some place wrong, she'd come running in my bedroom and beg me to pray over her. I said, why don't you just keep that scum a little while longer and see how much you enjoy it. But she would repent eventually. Thank God for my youngest child is very prophetic, very holy anointed. She will go after friends when they fall and pray for them. My children were taught you better not gossip about somebody because if you do, you're writing a letter of apology and you're taking it to them. And I would make sure they did it because God hates gossip. Don't let people gossip in front of you because guess what? If you listen to it, you're approving of it. Amen. And right now on this earth, there are scribe angels recording the words of God's people. All of the leaders, all of those called to be leaders, they're recording not just what you say, but what you allow to be said in your presence. You don't have to be rude. You just say, I have made my life a covenant with the Father. And if you want me to pray for that person, let's pray right now. If you do that, they won't call you back to gossip. And you've just made a statement of who you are. So I'm going to talk about heaven for a few minutes. But I had to make you aware of the spirit realm. I will say one more thing because he loves me to share this. When you dance before the Lord, because we're going to all learn to dance, a dance that the angels do today. Amen. If you've never danced before, you're going to do it today. Yeah. It's a mandate from the Father. And he did say, if I could give one more commandment, it would be my people will dance. Amen. Because if you don't do it here, you will learn to do it up there. When you dance before the Lord in the spirit realm, every time the angels come and place a canvas under your feet. While you are worshiping and dance, you are painting a masterpiece on that canvas. A masterpiece of what's coming from your heart. That canvas is carried before the throne of God and then placed in your praise gallery. Everyone has one in heaven. What goes in there is determined by you. When you sing before the Lord, out of your mouth comes ribbons of color. They begin to create a tapestry that becomes a masterpiece, the same way carried before the throne of God, placed in your gallery. As an artist, every brushstroke you make, you release a music note. And as you're painting, you're creating a symphony that's played before the throne of God. Everything you do in this life has a reaction in the spirit realm, whether for good or for evil. So make your life count. When you get there, you want to see your praise gallery filled. And I have to stop and share just a little bit about the mansions in heaven. I have walked through people's mansions. And let me tell you, they are amazing. Every story in a mansion, if you have two or three, are 20 feet high. Most of them are about 10,000 square feet. Many of them bigger than that. Depending on really what you've done for the Lord. Salvation is free, but what happens in heaven, your reward is determined by the way you live your life. The more of yourself you pour out, the more he rewards you with. When you get to heaven, you get an amazingly beautiful gown filled with the light of God. You get a robe. The gowns are all the same, but the robes are different. An intercessor can walk down the streets of heaven, and you know they poured their life out because they are embellished with every kind of gem, beautiful gem and detail on them. God did that to honor those who deserve honor. So when you get to heaven, you walk down the street, you'll know every person that did something with their life. And you'll know the ones who made in with a deathbed confession. But let me tell you, they're glad they're there instead of down there. And I have seen hell. Hell is a horrible place. Those horrible ways of torture, they never escape. Even the outer reaches of darkness, he's recently given me revelation on what that means. There's outer reaches of darkness. There's tunnels that run from hell up into the second heaven where Satan lives. And torture goes on all the way up, down through those tunnels. You don't want anyone to go there. They all knew they had to make a choice when they go there, but there's never any freedom. Fear is the worst thing in hell. Fear is one of Satan's greatest torments, even on this earth. Another word for you is don't let fear interfere. God says simple words, but they mean a lot. Stop letting fear interfere in your life. You choose to believe him and what the Word of God says. If you don't read the Word of God, you better start reading it because there are universities in heaven where you will learn the Word of God. Wouldn't you rather teach it instead of have to learn it? Some of them learning it are pastors because they don't just teach the Word, they teach the revealed Word of God. The mansions are amazing. Some of them have live flowers growing out of the walls of people's houses. They have streams running through them. They have waterfalls in them. It is a supernatural place. Whatever your desire is or what you would want, the Father's already got it furnished. That mansion is completely, totally furnished. You're not a spirit being floating through the walls. Why would he give you something to sit on if you were going to float through it? A spirit being in heaven, that is a spirit realm, and you're a spirit being operates like a physical being in this physical world. You touch things, you eat, you go places, you have things to transport yourself around heaven. There's many ways of transportation. I don't have a lot of time to share about that, but there are many different ways to do that. Yes, you eat food in heaven, not because you have to, because you want to. There are restaurants in heaven because you use your gifts, and people have the gift of a chef. They still do that in heaven, but nothing costs anything. If you're an artist, you get a studio, you get a gallery, everything you need. People walk in there, they give you the artwork. The jewelers give you the jewelry. And the reason they have gifts in heaven is to give gifts to you so that when they get there, they can collect them. And when their family members come home, you have a big party and your mansion is filled with gifts from your family and friends. They haven't forgotten about you. They're up there getting things ready for you. Amen. So, yes, you are remembered and loved in heaven. No one stays old in heaven. This is some of the best news I give anybody. You look like you're 25. So someone who's 95 and they're going home to heaven, don't call them back. They are not going to be happy with you because they're in a place filled with his glory, his love, and the greatest adventure they could ever experience. I'll share one story with you. I can tell you when you walk down the paths of heaven, you're walking down seeing the beautiful flowers. They change colors. They make music. Heaven has greater dimensions than we do. The gems that are now being dropped into the churches and the prayer meetings all over this earth, that's the mulch in the flower beds. The angels scoop down and get some out and just throw them down into the services. That's part of heaven invading earth. The oil that's being poured out in the services, there's a reservoir to the left side of the throne room where the Holy Spirit dwells. That is the oil of the Holy Spirit. It is being poured out on pulpits, on people all over this world. It is a holy oil being anointed for him coming here. In heaven, when you worship in heaven anywhere, your spirit being literally rides on the worship, you see people floating across the skies of heaven. Because they're all going to the throne room, all worship goes to the throne room. So no matter where you are, if you want to go there, you start worshiping, you're carried there by your praise. That's why when you're in a worship service and you feel like you just want to go up to be with him, you have that feeling. It is normal. It's normal because your spirit being wants to go to the throne room. In heaven, it does. So you're literally feeling something that you will feel up there. You don't lose your feelings. And you don't become some robot. Your gifts and your personality are even greater enhanced. So if you have someone who's a funny person, a nut, or a card, guess what? They're going to be even better in heaven. I challenge you to really just open your spirit to receive what he's got to say to you. We never in our mortal minds can imagine the things he's prepared. That's why the scripture says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered in the heart of man, but God has prepared for those that love him. It is an awesome, amazing place. There are places to have fun. There are concerts all over heaven, every kind of music, anointed music, no bad words or lyrics. It's not the beat of the music. It is the words and the spirit of the people who are playing it. Just like in the movies, it could be an all right movie, but if there's someone in there that has an unclean spirit, that spirit's going to be all over. Unclean spirits are the ones that promote homosexuality, all of the sexual crimes. It is the most foul spirit there is, an unclean spirit. I can go by someone who's got one, and I feel like I want to take a bath. If someone calls on the phone and has that spirit, I feel like I want to take a bath because it's so prevalent in them and is rampant all over the world right now. But guess what? It's about to be evicted from many people. Millions of people are about to come into this kingdom. If I had time, I could ask questions of people. I love to do that, but I don't have time. So I'm going to just tell you before I forget, we do have books and CDs over here. We have copies of some of the illustrations in the book. We try to make them very reasonable for people because we want them to have something of heaven or about heaven to take home. We have a website. It's revealingheaven.com. If you want to go there, if you don't get something today, you can go there and get it. It will autograph things, send it to you, pray over your name when you order. We would pray over you even if you didn't order because God wants you to know how much he loves you. And I have to tell you what it's like to stand before Jesus in heaven because that's what this message is all about. It isn't about me. I am no more important than the janitor in the church. My calling might be different, my gifting might be different, but we couldn't operate without them. We couldn't operate without the nursery workers or the people who have to clean the congregations. You couldn't. So God loves all of them. And if I could, I'd come and sit by every one of you and just share about heaven. I have a meeting no matter where I am, every day of my life, in the airport, it doesn't matter. In the parking lot, it doesn't matter. Someone ask about heaven, they're going to hear about heaven. I've had people repent, not even telling them, ever telling them that they didn't know him. Just because of sharing about heaven, they know it's real. And God wants you to know it's real, it's holy, but it is fun. You're not going to be bored up there. There's amusement parks. There's all kinds of things to do. The roller coasters in the amusement parks leap from track to track. You can't get hurt. You can't fall. There's extreme sports in heaven. They still have them because those are gifts people have. But guess what? The scoreboard has three places. One for each team, and above them is one for Jesus. And the reason they compete so strongly is those points don't stay on their scoreboard. They go there and they're transferred up to Jesus' account, and they work hard because they want to get more points for him than anyone else. So guys, if you want to see sports in eternity, you better give your heart to God, because you aren't going to get them. The only sports they play in hell, you're the football. Your talents and gifts will never be used in hell. They will be used in heaven. So right now, everyone stand up. I'm going to declare something over you, and then we're going to do this dance that the angels do. One thing the Father wanted me to share is, yes, I do have a strong gift of prophecy, but the thing he's told me that in this season, he's doing something new. It's a new season. The revelation I give you is a word for you. It is the same for every believer. He is coming to empower you. That you will become the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You will be raising the dead, healing the sick. He will download wealth into you if you've been trained to use it right. You won't just take care of you. You will literally build things to be used in the millennial reign. Stop disconnecting with eternity. Just because someone dies doesn't mean they're gone. Their journey takes them there. It'll bring them right back down here. And even though things look bad, he couldn't download wealth into his people and use it if all the banks were going to crash. It will happen one day. Those prophets are seeing correctly, but it's not for right now. I am part Jewish. I'm from the tribe of Issachar. I do know the times and seasons of God. It's time for him to show up and show off in his people. So anyone who wants this revelation, raise your hands. Say, Father, I receive it. I want it. Use me. Forgive me for using my words against you and against people. Strike them from my record. Fill my mouth with your words. I renounce anything the enemy has put in my mouth and I have spoken. I break its power right now in Jesus' name. I am free, and I have a clean record. Amen. Amen. Woo. Now you all can make this declaration with me, with your pure hearts. Close your eyes and raise your hands out to the atmosphere. We declare that the Most High God is coming to sit upon the throne of our hearts and over the seat of the government. We warn the spiritual darkness now sitting there. You are about to be evicted because God will have his day and hour, and he'll release his power, and those in the White House will become his or will be removed. You will no longer control this area or this country. God in his people are about to rule and reign. And you better get out of the way. In Jesus' name, heaven come. Heaven come. Heaven come. Heaven come. Woo! Glory. Okay, we're all going to get ready to do this dance. Carolyn, you want to come up here and help? The Father loves dance. People dance all over in the throne room, and Jesus will actually come off his throne and dance with you. He wants to be with his people. I've seen guys line up, thousands of them across the throne room. Jesus gets in the middle, and they start doing this Greek dance. It is amazing, and they go in big circles. You better get out of the way, women. But he'll come down off his throne, and he will dance with his daughters, too. Hallelujah. People celebrate and rejoice. If you've never danced, when you get there, you'll know how to do it. Amen. The Holy Spirit orchestrates that. He loves it. So right now, we are going to dance before the Lord. This dance the angels do, I've seen it many times, and the Father said, you're going to teach it to my people. This dance represents his people receiving revelation and them rejoicing over it. So the first movement is like you're digging up treasure, and you're going to go to the side like this, and then this way, and you do a little bit faster. You go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and that's you receiving revelation, not yet. That means that you are receiving revelation and you're taking it. Okay, the next movement is you are now going to praise God for that revelation. So then you go right from that last movement. When you go 8, you're going to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And then the last movement is you receive revelation. You've praised him for it. And guess what? Now you got to share it. So the last movement is a lot of fun. The angels love to do it, and I love to watch you doing it. And I don't dance, although my daughters do. I've been thrown out of jazzercise classes. So the last one is you've got to share it. You're going to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And we have, and to cause further damage to the enemy, by the way, we're all painting a canvas, remember. Maybe a funny one, but we're painting one. To further do damage to the enemy's kingdom, God uses a secular song to do this too. He said the enemy has stolen his music for years, so now he's going to take the enemy's or secular music and use it for him. So this song is called Everybody Dance Now, because he wants you to. And we're going to go through this one time without the music, and then we're going to do it like three times. Just follow the music, and then we'll just rejoice.